Imena wase mentumi mena. Hallelujah. You're all blessed in Jesus' name. Shall we please open our Bibles to Psalm 42? Kaligo Shige Diva Lagadush. Psalm 42, Kalahash. Why, yeah. Ah, mame. Me, Esa. Me, da. Kaliba Shagada. Oh, why, yeah. Why, yeah. Ah, mame. Wadio wadia.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. Kalabasha kalagado.
Psalm chapter 42, verse 7. Psalm chapter 42, verse 7. Last week, we talked about the transformation of the Christian by the Word of God and through the Spirit. And I remember I said that in the New Testament, we have license into the Word of God. I think that is one of the most important truths you can carry with you. Certain things must be registered in your spirit and in your mind. Hallelujah. The New Testament. Today I'm talking about the transfiguration of the Christian by the Spirit through communion. Through communion. So the same transformation, but this time. I want you to understand that there are levels in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. There are levels in our relationship with God. Can we be seated? Kala Hashongo do Hosea. Ask someone, are you ready for the word? There are levels in our relationship with God. See, when we are born again, we have a relationship with God. The main reason why we are born again is to have a relationship with God. So anyone that is born again has a relationship with God. So now that you are born again, you have a relationship with God. Are my technical men ready? Now that you are born again, you have a relationship with God. It is very important. It's very important. Sometimes, when we say, what is Christianity? People say, oh, Christianity is having a relationship with Christ Jesus or having a relationship with God. But there is much understanding when you say that. There is much understanding. There is more than just saying that Christianity is having a relationship with God. Do you know what it means for a man to have a relationship with God? Do you know what it means? Has it ever crossed your mind that you, sitting down here, you have a relationship with God? Has it crossed your mind? Have you sat down to really think about it? But you see, there are levels in our relationship with God. Hallelujah. There are levels in our relationship with God. We are not people who just go to church. We are people who have God with us. We are not just people who have God with us. We are people who have God inside of us. We are the people that God has made his dwelling place. Are you following me? We are the people that God has made his dwelling place. We are men of supernatural influence. We are people who associate with a supreme divine being. We are not just people who have just come to church. No. There are levels in our relationship with God by His Spirit. God has a relationship with us through His Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is indwelling of us, or is dwelling inside of us. And He's not just dwelling inside of us so that He can only guide us, but so that we can have a relationship with God, a practical, experiential relationship with God. Not just saying, oh, we have a relationship with God. No. But a practical relationship with God. Shout hallelujah. So you are one of those people who have a relationship with God, a practical relationship with God. You walk with God. You move with God. You are able, by grace and by faith, to communicate with God. Come on. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here? If you are here, shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't stop the flow. Shout another big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we have a communication with God. We are able to talk to God and talk with God. And God is able to talk to us and talk with us. God decides things with the Christian. He says, come, let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. But he says, come, let us reason together. So when we come into Christ, we have come to reason together with God. Are you following me? So there is a divine spiritual reasoning between the Christian and God. There is a divine spiritual reasoning. Say reasoning.
Reasoning.
Between the Christian and God. We are able to actually talk to God. You don't understand. We are not talking about when somebody is talking to God for you. We are talking about when you can talk to God for yourself. And when God can come to you and talk to you because He is with you. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
One day God called a man called Abraham. Move out of your father's house. He moved out of his father's house. Then God began to walk with Abraham. And God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham spoke to God. And the relationship between them was so tight that one day, God showed up and said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. Then one day, God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he said, shall I hide this thing that I'm about to do? God was, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want you to come higher. Say, come higher. Maybe today I'll be speaking to a few people. Some will catch. Maybe three or four people, they will catch what I'm saying. Some others will just say, oh, let's go and sleep. But see, he says, shall I hide this for my servant Abraham? God was going to a man to consult a man in a decision that he has taken already. He had sent angels to go and parade Sodom and Gomorrah. To go and check around and see what is happening. Then instead of he moving himself, he went to Abraham first. To go and have a consultation with Abraham concerning a nation. Then he said, shall I hide this from my servant Abraham? Listen to God speaking. That shall I hide this thing that I'm about to do? I'm about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm about to destroy a nation. Then he says, shall I hide this thing that I'm about to do from my servant Abraham? It shows you the levels of the relationship. When he started, he said, Abraham, leave your father's house. Abraham left. And I'll make you great. I'll curse those who curse you. I'll bless those who bless you. Who bless you? Abraham left. After that, God began to show himself to Abraham. Reveal himself to Abraham on various ways, in various manners, until that point where Abraham and God had become friends, where God could call Abraham his friend. God was calling a man his friend. You say you have friends. Wait till you are a friend of God. Because you see, sometimes when we enter into the New Testament, we say, oh, the Christian cannot be a friend of God. But I've realized that there are differences in relationships. You can be a child of God and not be a friend of God. In the same way, you can be a child of your father in the house and you are not close. So there are things he wouldn't tell you in the same house, even though you are the child, you are his child. But there are things that he would also tell, there are also other sons or children in the house that your father can always want to talk to concerning his business, concerning his finances, concerning any area of his life, sometimes even concerning your mother. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because even though there is a relationship which is a father-son relationship, it has moved to that place where the father and the son, the father is not seeing the son as just his son, but as a close confidant. Have you understand what I'm saying? So that the father can now call you and say, I want to talk to you about your mother. And won't call all the other children to tell them about the mother or about whatever plans he has in the future. Because he has come to that place where he has become a confidant of the father. The father can now trust in him because of their close relationship. Every day, how are you? Shout hallelujah. So Abraham had walked with God to the point where he was called the friend of God. Where God could not do something without consulting Abraham. So in our walk with God, there are levels of relationship that we develop with God. It is not something that just happens. It's something that we consciously and practically develop. It is something that we consciously and practically develop. Kaliga zogodo vogozi atasha. Mele gosh, malagadush. Pahashte livroski stele megush kapari katoski pala. So we consciously and practically develop this relationship. But God has sent his spirit into our hearts so that we can consciously develop a relationship with God. The spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that is inside of us, is the presence of God inside of us. Where the Holy Ghost is, God is there. It is something you must never forget. It means that if you are carrying the Holy Ghost, you are carrying God. So as you develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Ghost, you are developing an intimate relationship with God. So the Spirit of God is the presence of God on your inside. Very important. Shout hallelujah. Psalm 42, verse 7, quickly. Kadi akosh kepa. Ama Jesus nyame. Just give it to me. 42 verse 7.
Deep calls unto deep.
Deep calls unto deep.
At the noise of your waterfalls.
At the noise of your waterfalls.
All your waves and billows have gone over me.
All your waves and billows have gone over me. What a statement. Now, go to verse 1. Read verse 1. Let me show you something.
Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water
beats. As the deer pants for water,
So pants my soul for you,
O
God.
So pants my soul for you, O God. But it says, deep calls unto deep at the what?
At the noise of your waterfalls.
At the noise of... How many of you have seen a waterfall before? When it says deep calls, when you see a waterfall, you see the water coming from upward, downwards. And as it's pouring, one falls on the other. There is no instant in a waterfall where one stops. The one that is coming from upward falls on the one that is downward. So the more you watch, the more you see the water falling on one another. They are falling on one another. There is no stoppage. Or there is no stopping. He says, deep calls unto deep. Deep calls unto deep there means that deep... Are you following me? Deep cries unto deep. So the more the water falls, the more fall on the water. Are you following? The more the first one falls, the more the second one falls on the first one. The third one falls on the second one. The fourth one falls on the third one. There is no instant where the water stops. When it stops, it's no longer a waterfall. So he's saying deep calls unto deep, because the more the water comes, the more it falls on one another without stopping. There is always a downward flow. There is always a flow from one to another, from one to another. There is no stopping. He says deep calls unto deep. What is he saying? He's saying that the more our depth in God, in our relationship with God, the more we add up to that depth. In other words, God is expecting us to be able to add more depth to what we are. How many of you understand what I'm saying? In our relationship, he doesn't want us to stop at a particular time. No. So deep calls unto deep. So the more intimate you are with God, or the more deep you are in God, the more you long to be more deeper in God. The one who thinks he has arrived in where he are, where he is, or where she is, doesn't really know God. Because when you get to know God and have an intimate relationship with God and a spiritual experience and spiritual experiences with God, the more you want to know God. The more you think you have known him, the more you want to know him. Shout hallelujah. So he says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. It doesn't mean that we are searching for God, no. But we are going deeper into God, because there is much in God. And when he talks about the deer, the King James says the heart, which is the male deer. And what it actually means is that a deer is one animal that really runs. And when the enemy is after the deer, and the deer is running, the deer runs into the water or into the river and hides himself there, so that the scent of the deer is not seen. So that when the enemy is after the deer, and it's running, the male deer, it runs to go and hide in a river somewhere where, because the scent can be known. So when he hides, the scent can no longer be seen. The scent becomes the scent of the water. So you can't catch the deer from the water. That is how we are supposed to run in God. We are not running to God. Listen very carefully. But we are going deeper into God, because there is much of God. By the Holy Ghost, there is much, so much of God. I don't know how to explain this thing. So that we can be more intimate with God. So where you are right now is not enough. And those of you who have not started running, you're supposed to start. And you're supposed to go so much deep, because deep calls on to deep. You understand? So the more deep, the more you cry for more deep. The more you are into more deep, the more you cry for much more deep. With the Spirit of God. Shout hallelujah. So your relationship with God is determined by your relationship with the Spirit of God. And how much intimacy exists between you, your spirit, and the Spirit of God. Because sometimes we say, oh, there is a person in a person and all that. But it is important you sit down and understand that we are talking about you having a deeper, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit than where you are now. You might be seeing something now. You might be hearing something now. The Spirit of God may be moving on you in a particular way. But there is much more that you can go into. Shout hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God, the scripture says that for by his Spirit he garnished the heavens. The Spirit of God is the one that created the heavens and created the host of the heavens. So for you to have a relationship, am I teaching you something? For you to have a relationship with the Spirit of God, oh Lord Jesus, that ancient spirit. He's an old spirit. That's what I would say. The Holy Ghost. Before the world began, the Holy Ghost was there. Before all that we see came into being, the Holy Spirit was there. It is that same Holy Ghost that is inside of you. So we are carrying the Holy Ghost to be able to walk. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. So he says, deep calls unto deep. As the deer pants for water, so my soul pants after you. My soul is longing for more of God. Is somebody so longing for more of God? My soul is longing for more of God. My soul is longing for more of God. My soul is longing for more. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. Then it says, deep calls unto deep. Deep cries unto more deep. That's what he's saying. So you can go deeper than where you are. And that relationship is for your benefit. Because God showed up on behalf of Abraham when Abimelech was messing up, when Abraham was asleep. Think about it. I've said it over and over. This thing, I've been saying it here. But the time that God showed up and said, Abimelech, you are a dead man. You've taken somebody's wife. The man whose wife they had taken was asleep. He had given his wife out to a king and was sleeping. Why? There was an invisible person with him that they didn't see. See, there is an invisible person with us. We are seen as visible beings coming. But there is an invisible person with us called the Holy Spirit. The more intimate we are with the Holy Spirit, the more he moves on our behalf. That is why he is called our helper. The Holy Ghost is what? Our helper. So the Holy Ghost has come to help you. Not only to lead you, but to help you. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. Before you found yourself in that trouble, the Holy Ghost existed before the troubles. You should understand. So carrying such a person is carrying a solution with you. But what is the difference? The difference is that we do not have time for this Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter what? Chapter 11 verse 5. It says what?
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5.
And someone should open Genesis chapter 5 verse 21 to 24. If you have the Amplified, I want you to open Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. Amplified. Quickly. Kali Gasho. If you are getting blessed, shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want you to go home tonight with a different understanding of the Holy Spirit, such that you want to carry the Holy Ghost. Kali Gasho. Some of you will just carry the Holy Ghost. When I say you carry, you draw off the Holy Ghost and put on somebody and he'll come with a testimony. Now we pray for people. A time will come, we won't pray for anyone. And we say, oh, we'll pray for you, we'll pray for you. When you sit down and study critical, you don't have to pray for you, you have to put the Spirit on you. I was explaining something to someone. Like I was saying, that when you carry so much of the Holy Spirit and you put the Holy Ghost on somebody, or you draw out of the Spirit and put on somebody, what the Spirit of God would have done through you, that same Spirit will do in the life of the person. You didn't catch what I said. I'll explain later. Now go to Hebrews chapter what?
11.
Verse 5, quickly.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, uh-huh. From the New King James Version.
Uh-huh.
By faith, Enoch was taken away so that
Enoch
he did not see death.
Enoch was taken away so that what?
He did not see death.
He did not see death.
And was not found.
And he was not found.
Because God had taken him.
Because God had taken him.
For before he was taken, he had this testimony.
He had this testimony.
That he pleased
that
God.
That he pleased God. So by faith, he says, Enoch was taken. That he did not see death. By faith, Enoch was taken. Enoch was a man. Say a man.
A man.
By his walk with God, he attained to become a prophet. You read the book of Jude and First Peter. He talks about how Enoch was prophesying. He had worked with God and had turned to a prophet. Why people think that being called a prophet and all those is an office, is a title. See, God never puts his anointing. No, let me stop that one. Continue. Enoch, listen. God never puts any great anointing on a man who has not worked with him. By faith, Enoch was what? Taken, that he did not see death. So Enoch was the first person not to see death. He did not see death. It means that Enoch did not die. He was a man. He did not die. And the Bible says that he was taken by God. What will make God take a person without death? See, there is a taking without... See, you go to where? Genesis chapter what? 5. Amplified. Who has the Amplified quickly? Amplified.
Genesis chapter 5. From verse 21.
Quickly.
When Enoch was 65 years old.
When Enoch was how many years?
65 years old.
How many years?
65 years
Continue.
Old. Methuselah was born. Enoch walked in habitual fellowship.
Enoch walked with what? Habitual fellowship.
With God.
With God. Oh, but they are slowing the flow. Somebody just shout it out loud.
So all the days of Enoch were 360.
See, this is the work of the Holy Ghost. He gives specific dates. So he's not saying that Enoch was taken away. How many years? We don't even know. No, he's telling us the number of years the guy lived. 365. And he was 65 when he gave birth to what? Methuselah. And he lived to be 300 years. He lived to be how many years? So he spent his... Continue with the Amplified quickly. Is it finished? And Enoch walked in habitual fellowship. Write it in your book. Habitual fellowship. See, he's talking about fellowship, but now he's talking about habitual fellowship. Say habitual. Kalekosha katosa. Continue. And he was not. He was what? He was not found. For God took him home with him. So for 300 years, the guy spent his 300 years walking with God. In habitual fellowship until God one day decided to take the guy home with him. So they went to Enoch's room and he was not there. Say, where is the guy? Where is the man? Later on, we know from scriptures and by the revelation of the Spirit that God took him. I believe that Methuselah didn't even know that God had taken his father. But the Bible says that Enoch was a man and he walked with God. Until God took him. It means that his relationship with God for 300 years. God did not take him in the first year. And the Bible did not say that in the fifth year God took him. No. God took him after 300 years of walk. And it says he calls that habitual fellowship with God. It is not something he just did to get something from God. Or to get some information from God. Or to get God to reveal something to him. No. It was a continuous, consistent fellowship with God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So that we can also walk with God so much that we can be taken. When we say taken, some of you are saying taken home, carry like Enoch. You may not want the Enoch one. But you can be so taken in the Spirit. You can be so clothed upon by the Spirit. It means that you have been taken in the Spirit. That the things that men do naturally, You do them supernaturally. The things, oh Lord Jesus, are you following me? So you can also be taken by the Spirit. It means that you are so much carried by the Spirit. You are taken by the Spirit. It says Enoch was, so there is such a thing as a walk with God. For Enoch walked with God and he was not. He was where? Not. For God took him. So there is a walk with God by his Spirit. There is a walk with the Holy Spirit. There is a habitual fellowship that we can cultivate with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost that Jesus gave to us was not just given to us as somebody who we just carry around and speak in tongues. It is more than that. Jesus said that I will not leave you as orphans. I will give you another comforter. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Bible says Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, revealed himself to the disciples. One day, as the disciples were on the road of Emmaus, the Bible says, Jesus came into their midst. And the scripture says that, and their eyes were holding, that they could not see him. When I read that scripture, I said, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. That we can enter a place and their eyes are holding and they cannot see us. But you see, Jesus talked, spoke with the people, told them a lot of things, what will happen, explained the scriptures to them. But when he finished, he said, so that you go and preach the gospel to the people for the repentance and the remission of sins. Then he said, but wait in Jerusalem. Don't go first. Even though I've instructed you to go, wait for the Holy Ghost of promise. The promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost come. So Enoch did not even have the Holy Spirit living in him. God showed himself to Abraham in visions, night visions and all that. Yet when Abraham saw God coming with two angels, he located God. Abraham, listen. See, spiritual things are different. The problem is that the church, we've not taught people that Christianity is spirituality. We are not talking about religion. We are not talking about superstition. When people say it is December, so when is December, people die. Those and pastors say, come, let us do all night. People will die. Those are superstitious beliefs. There is real spirituality. There is what? Spirituality. So Christianity is being spiritual. Christianity is not just joining a church. And the reason why God has given us his Spirit is for us to be spiritual. It's for us to be able to have access to the realm of the Spirit. It's for us to be able to control the physical from the realm of the Spirit. That is why sometimes I say that if men have said no to you, when you go, they will say yes. The reason why I say that is because there is a control in the realm of the Spirit. There is a control of the physical from the realm of the Spirit. So when you are spiritual, you control physical things spiritually and you control spiritual things spiritually. Shout hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost is inside of us for us to be spiritual. Says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and is peace. The word peace there means rest. It means prosperity. It means restoration, rest, peace. So there is a walk with the Holy Ghost. It's a walk. Like I can take over like this and be walking with him. I can also walk with the Holy Spirit. The things that you discuss with your friend, you can discuss with the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? It's important you know this Holy Ghost. It's important that you walk with the... You cannot know much of the Holy Ghost until you walk with him. You are walking with an invisible person. Say, I'm walking with an invisible person. Nobody is seeing this Holy Ghost coming, but I am walking with him. This Holy Ghost can cause changes in a second. This Holy Ghost. So it says Enoch walked with the Holy Ghost until he was so taken. The Bible did not say Enoch performed any miracle. Regina said that even John the Baptist did not perform any miracle, but he moved the whole city. He moved the whole city without a miracle. The cry of the Spirit. So there is a walk with the Holy Spirit that we've been called to. God has given us an invisible person to walk with. And he knows the potency of this person and the potentials of the Holy Spirit. He knows what his Spirit can do. Even God does not do anything without his Spirit. So why will you, the Christian, do things without the Spirit? It's because we don't know this Holy Ghost. For by his Spirit, he garnished the heavens. He created the heavens by his Spirit. Jesus did not do any miracle until the Spirit of God came. Jesus was not raised by the dead, raised from the dead because he was Jesus. But he was raised because the Spirit of God was with him. So the Holy Ghost had to carry Jesus from the dead. If the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, look at the construction. It says, if the Spirit of him, that is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, if the Spirit of God that raised even Jesus from the dead, it says, if that Spirit dwells in you, he's giving us a consciousness and understanding that the Holy Ghost is the one that raised Jesus from the dead. Without the Holy Ghost, Jesus would have still been in hell. God had to send his Spirit to raise Jesus from the dead. Then it says the Spirit that God sent is the one that is inside of you. Then it says that same Spirit shall quicken your mortal bodies. So that Spirit can quicken your business. Put the Holy Ghost on those forms. You are true. You didn't hear what I said. It says, how shall this be, knowing that I know not a man? The word had come, but the Spirit had to come. There is no opportunity anywhere across the globe, that the Holy Ghost can't bring to you. You are not following me. You are looking at me. Because when I sit down with the Holy Ghost, I've realized that. That is why I say deep calls unto deep. So come up. Look at someone, tell the person, come up, come up. Say, go deeper in the Spirit. Say, go deeper in the Spirit. Say, go deeper in the Spirit. Because Abraham had walked with God. One day God was coming in the form of a person. He was coming with two angels, two messengers. God was in the middle. The two messengers were coming. There is something about hunger and thirst. There is something. There is something about what? It says, for my soul, as the deer pants for water, so my soul also does what? Longs after you. Have you been hungry before? You can be so hungry that even midnight, you wake up and go and look for some cheese. Some Indomie. Why? Because you are hungry. Because there is something about hunger and thirst. You see, your spiritual life is anchored on your thirst and your hunger for the Lord. Your spiritual life. You are not hungry for anything, you won't get anything. Listen very carefully. Am I showing something? Your spiritual life is dependent on your hunger and your thirst. The man who is not hungry for anything won't be filled and won't be satisfied. It's the one who is thirsty that God fills, and the one who is hungry that God satisfies. Can I show you from scriptures? But let me explain this one. The man, Jesus, God with angels were going, were coming to Abraham. But they did not come directly to Abraham. Do you know what they did? They were passing. Abraham was sitting down, they were passing. That is one thing about God. See, the Bible says Jesus, when he arose from the dead, listen very carefully. Are you following? When Jesus arose from the dead, the two men on the road of Emmaus, they were on the road of Emmaus, troubled about this Jesus. They said the women who went there said that the man, they saw two angels, and they saw angels, and the angels said, why are you looking for the dead? They're living among the dead. So the two men, the two disciples were troubled. On their way to their house, Jesus showed up. When Jesus started walking with them and was explaining to them the scriptures, he was explaining to them the prophets, what the prophets had said, Isaiah, Jeremiah, he was teaching them. After resurrection, Jesus was still teaching. He was teaching them. When he taught them to a particular point, where they were about to enter their house, he decided to leave. The Bible says that he acted as if he was leaving. Then the people constrained him and said, stay with us. They did not know it was Jesus, because according to scriptures, the two men, their eyes were holding that they could not see that it was Jesus. So they were seeing, but they could not say that this was Jesus. That is spiritual. That was the same thing Elisha did. You understand? When he blinded the soldiers and he said, follow me, and they were following him, how could he have led all those 50 soldiers if they were blind? They were walking with him, but they could not see that he was the man we were looking for. That is the Holy Ghost. Say the Holy Ghost. But you see, as Jesus was about to leave, the Bible says, and the two men constrained him. They said, it is late. Stay with us. Then Jesus stayed with them. He would have gone and left them behind. And when he went there, the Bible says that he took bread and he broke the bread. And when he broke the bread and gave to them and they ate, their eyes were opened. They saw it was Jesus. The Bible says, and Jesus vanished from their sight. So if they had said, okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. They would have made the understanding that it was Jesus that was speaking to them. Then they said, wasn't our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us and expounded the scriptures to us? That was the same thing God was doing with Abraham. He was passing. Abraham said, hey, gentlemen, come. Spirituality. We are not spiritual. You will miss your miracle. This is the day. See, there are timings. There are spiritual timings. There are spiritual timings. So, you miss your miracle. This is the day that thing will happen. Say, I don't feel like going. I don't feel like going. Let me sleep. Tomorrow I'll go. You have missed the miracle. Sometimes the promotion at work is this Monday. So, I don't feel like going. Don't feel like going. Let me tell boss, please. Next 2 weeks, next Tuesday I'll be at work. Today I'm not feeling very well. That same day, that Monday would have been the day of your miracle. Those people who said we went to work and so happened and we got a miracle. Imagine they didn't go to work that day. Some people say it would have still happened. It's a lie. It's very important you be spiritual. Look at someone, tell them, it's very important you be spiritual. You cannot be spiritual until you walk with the Holy Spirit. You don't stay at one level of spirituality. You go higher. Go more deeper. Abraham saw them and he said, gentlemen, come. And they came. When they came, and he gave them food to eat. Last week I was saying something. I was talking about, last week, I think in the course of the teaching, I said something about giving. Did I say that? How many of you were here last week? You heard I said something about giving. I said, I'm not talking, I would say, come and give me something. I'm explaining things to you. Why? Because when Abraham called them, he gave them something. Killed his goat or ram, gave it to them. Washed their feet. Made sure they were taken care of. These are spiritual things. These are things, you read the Bible, you think, oh, the Bible says that we should command, to all you are commanding. There's more to that. There is more to that. Why? Because after Abraham had fed the people, the three men, God was in the midst of the three men. You understand? And two angels. And he fed them and washed their feet. It was after they were satisfied that they said, where is your wife? Where's the, when he called them and they came to the house, he said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. We are in a hurry. But where is your wife? No. Principles. Doesn't work that way. He had to feed them first so that they'll be satisfied. Who said that? He said, bring me venison. So that I'll do what? I'll bless you. He had the blessing in his mouth, but he needed venison. Say venison. But this time, Abraham was sensitive. He knew what to give them when they came. Then after that, they said, where is your wife? Then they said, a year about this time, you will carry your baby. A year about this time, you will carry your baby. That's what they said. And then the Bible says Sarah was somewhere and she was just laughing, a year about this time. But they said that laughter was out of faith. You understand? But what if Abraham had missed these three men? He would have said, God, I've walked with you, Father of many nations. You said you bless me. And you said this. And you said my children will be this. And you said my generation will be this. Why has it not happened? He did not miss the time of his visitation. He did not miss the time. See, we have the Holy Ghost, but there's what is called the time of visitations. For instance, we are talking about an explosion in World Changers Conference. There is the time of visitation that you can fast the whole year and still wait for the time of his visitation. Jacob had to wait the time of visitation. He knew it. He was moving with his people. He said, no, let me go and separate myself. You take the lead. I'm coming. It was in that course. The Bible says he wrestled with God at night. And he was blessed. And his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And the Bible says that the Lord sent a word to Jacob and it lighted Israel. Visitation. Spirituality will not make you miss your time of visitation. Spirituality is your walk with the Spirit. So at the time the Holy Ghost is about to move in this direction, you are with him. It is not a hit and run thing we are doing. Christianity is not hit and run. Christianity is not what? Christianity is a continuous, consistent walk. I've said it that anybody you ever hear that he has gotten any testimony from watching this conference did not hit and run. Nobody. If you just tell, say, oh, I just came to get my testimony, once it won't come there and go, you won't get anything. Why? Because our purpose is to establish you, is to establish you in Christ. It's not just to get you to get something and go home and be relaxed. And tomorrow you call our phone. See, years back there was a woman. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Years back there was this woman. Years back we used to do some prayers. And there was this woman. She came for the prayers. I think she got some testimony. She came to me. She said, God bless you. God bless you and blessed all of us. She left. One day I was there when she called me that something has happened to the husband. I said, okay, I'll be praying. Oh, please be praying with me. Be praying. I said, okay, I'll be praying. No, she called me that something has happened to the son. I said, be praying. I said, okay, I'll be praying with you. I was there months after that. She called me again. Oh, Pastor Prince, my husband has got an accident. Please be praying with us. He's being rushed to the hospital right now. I put the phone down. Off. I said, this is what many Christians do. Today is the son. Tomorrow is the husband. The next day is the husband's business. The next day is the husband's job. That is not Christianity. Oh. That is just religion. Religion, when you are going to, what is that man's name? To go and get something from him and then you go home. That's religion. That is what the traditionalists do. When they want a son, they will go and do some one or two sacrifices and get one son from some demon somewhere. And then they will wait. When the son is sick, they will go. No, that is not what we are doing here. That is not Christianity is when you have an intimate relationship, a habitual fellowship with the Spirit of God. So Abraham did not miss his time of visitation because he had walked with God. See, God did not come to Abraham at the beginning of his walk. God came to Abraham at the end of his walk. Because at that particular time, Abraham was matured spiritually to be able to sense that these three men are not ordinary men. And when you read the Old Testament, you realize that some of them, they didn't even have the Holy Ghost in them, but they could sense that these are spiritual men. And some will even sacrifice, like Samson's father, Manoah, the man sacrificed. He saw that this is not an ordinary person. So it's very important that we walk with the Holy Spirit. It's very important that we walk. It says that Enoch walked with God and he was so taken. He was so consumed by the Spirit. He was clothed upon. He was in the Spirit. So much that God did not even consider his body again. He took him. Took the man without death. They woke up one day, went there, and the man was no longer there. He was gone. Because he walked with God. But now in the New Testament, we have the Holy Ghost 24/7. Talagadosh. Go to 2 Corinthians. Kadosh Falagadosh. If I teach you this tonight, you carry it home. As you are beholding, you are becoming, you are being changed into this image you are beholding. A Christian who doesn't pray the whole of the week. A Christian. There is a trouble somewhere. A Christian who doesn't pray. Why should I even pray? I don't have any need. Why should I pray? Oh, Lord Jesus. You only pray when you have needs. Go to 2 Corinthians. Kadish Kabbalah Gadosh. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14.